So can Goody sustain one great draft, which followed a really good draft, right? Like, I don't know if we can say yet that 2022 is as good as 23 was. And obviously there's other variables that go in. But 2022, I'm still not sure what Quay Walker is. I'm still not quite sure what Devontae Wyatt is. I know Zach Tom is a stud. I feel pretty good that Romeo Doubs' floor is to be a modern-day version of James Jones, who was a pretty darn good football player, even though he didn't go to a Pro Bowl. So I feel pretty good that the 2022 draft was good and that the 2023 draft can be over-the-top great if these guys continue with the way they started. What can 2024 be, and how hard is it to be able to do that again? I asked Goody that question. Here's how.
No, I was just going to say before we hear Goody, it's going to be incredibly difficult because there's not going to be the same amount of opportunities. And unlike last year, where basically every spot you had an opportunity, I would say that you're probably limited unless you are one of those 10 percenters. You're going to be limited to probably three, maybe four positions unless there's an injury to get that opportunity to show that you can do what half of that draft class of last year did.
Here's how Goody and I went back and forth on that earlier.
Going back to one of Ryan's earlier questions about the last couple of drafts, I know you're not a toot-your-own-horn guy, but Ron used to say if you can get three starters out of a draft, you've done a good job. And I know you said there were opportunities that maybe aren't there, but to do what you've done the last couple of drafts is really hard. Ron and Ted had drafts that weren't very good, and they were great at what they did. How hard is it to sustain that kind of momentum that you guys have been really rolling with the last few drafts?
Yeah, I think, I think it's every draft class is different, right? I mean, it's out of your control. There's some that are deeper than others, where you're picking and how things fall. You know, it's an interesting, in my time, I mean, the drafts is much different than it used to be. I think on average 1.6 players is re-signed from each draft class to a team. I mean, so it's not like it used to be where, you know, you'd have multiple guys. The way the salary cap is, you know, the guys you can pay, it's just much harder. So, I think what we're asking of these guys that we pick is to come in and be positive contributors to our football team. And again, the role that they're going to have is not completely in their control. You know, they got to be able to answer the opportunities that are given to them and try to create more opportunities. But where your football team sits and who's in front of them and those kind of things do impact their abilities. And certainly there was times in years past where, where maybe the last couple of years there was just a ton of opportunities for these guys to go seize, and credit to them, they did. And that was exciting to see. And I think that's what we're trying to create as we move forward, is just making sure that there's always going to be opportunities for guys to excel if they're worthy of it.
Tash, I'm curious what you thought of the entire answer, but the thing that jumped out at me when he said it was that on average throughout the NFL, 1.6 of the each draft, 1.6 of your picks out of each draft get re-signed to second contracts. So less than two on average from each class. If you're driven by draft and develop, the Packers obviously have to do much better than that, I would think, unless you're hitting home runs in every single draft.
Yeah, that number seems low to me, and that's partially because of how Green Bay approaches things. But also, you can look back at, every time I, talk about Goody, I'll have Ned on Twitter tell me, well, 2020, you take Jordan Love out of that draft class, blech, right? And the year before.
Not wrong.
Blech. So, all this stuff kind of balances out. And by the way, with this home run draft class that I'm talking about from last year, you're not going to be able to keep probably more than half because they're going to be super expensive if they continue on this trajectory. You'll have to pick. You'll have to figure out who will take what, a dollar amount and all this other stuff. So the number 1.6 is low, but the bottom line is if you don't get comp picks and you don't make any trades, you're going to get seven picks, half the guys can't play or can't play to the level you want. So there, you're already down to 3.5. And then you factor in the economics of it. You split that in half and you get to, you know, 1.4 to 1.7.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the average. Now, if you want to be great, you got to keep hitting on these because you need to continue to replenish those top-end guys that leave and get old with young, cheap talent. And then that cycle continues. It's the groups that let you get too old and the bottom drops out, which is, by the way, what we thought was going to happen last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gutenator put his cape on and said, not today. I'm going to fly in. I'm going to get you 8 to 9 quality starters on the low level, and I'll save the day with my draft. And what did the Gutenator with his cape with the big G on the back say? Hopefully, old boy with the that does all the meme work for us can do that.
That's
Jason. That's what happened. You don't have to like it.
No, this group, you're right.
We had bottomed out, and this was supposed to be, whether everybody wanted to admit it, last year was a total and utter rebuild. But old boy, with the cape and the G, flew in and said, I'm going to get you Wicks. I'm going to get you 2 tight ends that can play. I'm going to get, from the draft class before, some quality starters on the O-line. And the Gutenator saved the day. That's what happened.
My issue with that is not that he saved the day. My issue in that was I didn't realize the Gutenator had a cape. Like
I didn't either.
The Terminator.
I didn't either until we went and beat up the Kansas City Chiefs.
And
we hammered the Detroit Lions. No. Superheroes have capes. Super drafters, which is what Goody did last year. Now, years before, he's just ordinary old Joe. You know, old Clark Kent without the glasses.
Clark
third-round Kent.
And
yeah.
He got jammed in a phone booth and couldn't get out. That was 2019. He wasn't wearing no cape. Last year was Cape City, USA.
For those of you who are curious, the 2018 draft, the only one who's left on the roster is Jaire Alexander. The 2019 draft, the only guys that are left on that on the roster are Rashawn Gary and Elgton Jenkins. The 2020
draft. Really good players, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt. Ned. No doubt.
Hey, Ned. Yeah, two pretty good players.
The 2020 draft, Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon, that weird fourth-year player option thing. The rest of that draft, Josiah DeGuara, Kamal Martin, John Ryan, who was a good player for them, Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, and Vernon Scott and Jonathan Garman. So
if you get a starting quarterback that has the potential Jordan Love has, that goes
the rest
from
doesn't matter that much.
Stuck in a phone booth to, okay, at
Leaping
least I don't know if I got a cape on. But I got some tights. I'm wearing tights.
Goody doesn't strike me as a tights guy.
Why not?
It's more of a Lululemon vest guy, I think. I think he's picked that up from his coach.
My issue is I don't think the G for Gutenator is on the cape. I think the G is on the front, like Superman's S is on the front of like the chest. I think that's where he's got to don the G.
Well, what about the Packers G?
Well, that's the G. That's the G that's on the front, but it stands for both the Green Bay Packers and for the Gutenator.
I can't wait for whoever is our meme guy, who's been great,
Greg,
to come up with a flying Gutenator with the big G on the back, because when you're flying, your chest is down. You're not seeing what's on the front. It's got to be the back.
I am searching for some Packers superhero imagery. I will get to work on that during the commercial break. Want to remind you.
Oh, no, I think Sean. I think Sean is our guy, right?
It's Greg who makes the...
Greg!
He takes your face and puts it on various other characters. This is
Greg's
next
good.
Level. This is a pretty big ask.
It's a huge ask.
Putting together the Plubinator plan that you once had. We'll work on that. I want to get to a few of the other things that Goody had to say. Want to remind you, cape or no cape, Gutenator or no Gutenator, Associated Bank has been with the Packers from the very beginning, since 1919. In fact, they go even back further than that. But you know that they are the official bank of the Packers, and you know that you get great customer service when you bank with them. So if you haven't made the switch, make it now, especially if you're a Packers fan. There's no better place to be with your 10% off the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online, plus the great customer service and your Packers debit MasterCard. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more. More from the Gutenator and his cape next. It's Will Dean Tapp.